This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I have Mike from Porch Drinking joining us to do a 2018 Chicago Beer Review. We dive into all the tap room openings, the beer releases, the beer events. So grab yourself your favorite can that got released this year, and let's dive in.
Yeah, because, you know, it's going to cork pop out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we have another special guest. It's our month of guests.
Yeah, man. This is our year-end extravaganza. And who better to join us than Mike Zoller from Porch Drinking?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
What's up? Good to have you here. I think you maybe post the most Chicago beer photos on Instagram.
I think with my handle, I should probably be doing that. I feel guilty when I post anything outside of Chicago beer.
Your feed, your Instagram feed is great. Porch Drinking, you've been involved in that for how long has that been now?
Just finishing up my sixth year at Porch Drinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand it at first. So did it start in Denver, and then this is the Chicago output from that? Sorry, let me back up. Porch Drinking.
Yeah.
Tell us about Porch
What
Drinking.
Is it?
I should have just said that. Tell us about Porch Drinking.
Yeah. So it was founded by a small group. Everyone went to Miami University together, and we were all in the journalism program. Our founder is Tristan Chan. He moved out to Denver after college and basically said, hey, I want to keep writing. Craft beer is becoming a thing. Sent out a Facebook message to a bunch of people. I said, yeah, I'll raise my hand. I'll say, yeah, mm-hmm. You know, I'll give it a shot. Didn't know almost anything about beer at that point. You know, coming out of the college mindset, it was a few years out of college, but still craft beer wasn't as big. You know, if you think 2012, we were, you know, there was a few breweries, right? You had Goose Island, you had Bader Brow, you had Two Brothers, you had Metropolitan. I think Rev had just started. So the boom wasn't there yet. But we started, covering craft beer and very slowly built up from a team of like 15. And now we're over 100 writers nationwide.
Oh, okay. Shit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't realize it was that big. It's just Nick and I here.
Right.
I think that's really important for a blog to be like that large and successful. Is you always have to have content going out, and so we have content at least 3 stories every weekday.
Okay.
And I think 3 stories is probably a light day for us, anywhere from 3 to 5. But yeah, you know, we have a bunch of great writers all over covering beer.
That's awesome.
That's a lot bigger than I was expecting.
Right. Yeah.
That's a big operation.
Yeah, I think people, that's usually the response. Like, they have no idea. It's like they think it's like, you know, 8 of us all just, right, you know, opening up a beer, drinking about it, or drinking and writing about it. But it's much different.
Mm-hmm. And then how many people in Chicago are involved besides you?
That's a great question. So for a while, it was just me. But now we have a great team here. We have a photographer, and Eric Dirksen, who has been awesome. And then we have a team, I would say now, of 7 writers.
Okay.
Which is really helpful just because there is sometimes multiple events, as you guys know, in one day. And
right,
as much as I'd love to drink at every single event, I have a wife who doesn't appreciate me going to every single event, and I don't blame her. Yeah. So, it's been great having the team here. We just added 2 more writers this past month, so really excited to see what we could do in 2019 with a bigger staff.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
Nick and I try to go to multiple events in the same day, and it gets silly.
Yeah, I see Matthew Powers a lot, and I know you guys are loosely affiliated. And then that's our running joke all the time, like, you know, these first world problem of like, man, you know, here we are, another beer. It's noon, and it's a Wednesday, and it's another beer event. But I mean, you gotta go, you know, you gotta go do the thing.
Yeah, no, Matthew's been great. He's actually now our national editor, so he's doing a lot of editing for all the stories. But he is also out in the suburbs, so it's nice because he tackles the suburban breweries.
Yeah.
And then I'll do the Chicago breweries, and we have writers in Chicago and the suburbs. So
that was originally our plan for Chicago Beer Geeks.
Okay.
Like, there'd be most of the guys are in the burbs. So we're like, this is great. We'll have this nice 1-2 complimentary combo. Because you can't hit it all. And that's why every time I see, like, the Suburbia guys or the who's the other guy? The Poor Man out of Naperville. I'm like, you guys got to keep it rolling. Because if you do one, you usually can't do the other. you know, the city of the burbs.
Right, because we joke constantly on here that we don't even know what's happening.
Like, we're not going. Yeah.
I had, over Christmas here, I had something from Oswego Brewing. Mm-hmm. I was like, first, I didn't know anything about them, and it was delicious, so now I have to find out more, I guess.
Right. But if you're in the city, it is not easy to get to Oswego. Like, this is not something you do after work one day or, you know, on a whim. So, yeah, there's so much going on in the city with beer.
Wow. But with that, I think for this episode, I guess the end of the year recap, we wanted to do kind of talk about Chicago beer. Of course, we'll dip into the suburbs a little bit here. But felt like you were the person to help us recap some of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk 2018.
Yeah, and as we're going over this, we are drinking the latest, I guess, can release from Revolution, the Freedom of the Press, which was a follow-up to the Freedom of the Speech, which was their peach session sour or kettle sour.
Yeah, and I want to say this is the reason why whatever their wheat ale was, right?
Bottom up.
I think this is the reason Bottom Up is like taking a hiatus, right?
Correct. So it will no longer be canned. It will be available on draft, but it is no longer being canned because of Freedom of Press.
I like this beer. I'm going to always take it over Rosa.
Oh, my God. Fucking Rosa. Dude, that's the reason why they don't like us, because we keep talking shit about Rosa, I think. Yeah.
But this seems like the year of the Courant for them, because Death Star, there's the Courant version.
Yeah. And so. Yeah. One of the first ones I had up at Great Taste was they had a strawberry rhubarb Freedom of the Press, which was really nice. And they do these kettle sours, I think. They're one of the better crews out there for the kettle sours. Some of those kettle sours, you know, they got that grainy cereal thing going. Mm-hmm. This one doesn't have that. So I had the Courant first. I like it a little bit more than the peach. They're both pretty solid, though.
Yeah. So I have to ask now, is it Courant or Current? Because I always say Current.
Right.
Oh, I thought it was Courant.
I don't know.
See, is it Death or Death? I mean, there's
I think the Death or the Death go hand in hand, right? Because it's Josh Death, but then people Death say Star. Death. Stuff. Right. So it's kind of that's interchangeable now. Maybe.
This is nice though. This is really crisp and clean, which is nice. A little change of big stouts, hazy IPAs.
Nice.
I think it's like under 5% too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 4.5. Yeah. Nice little combo with the holiday cookies that Brad bought in, man. Little lemon zest action on these holiday cookies. It all works out.
Nice. So where should we start then? Should we start beer? Should we start events? Tap rooms of 2018?
Yeah, man, because last year was the year of the taproom, like, without a doubt, right? So many openings, right? This year, I think we talked about maybe the Maple Room, and it's not called the Maple Room.
But we'd like to call it
the Maple Room. Maplewood was a thing, but I think they may have opened their taproom this year. Mm-hmm. So a lot less openings, but still some cool taproom experiences.
The Off-Color Mousetrap opened.
Was this year, too?
Oh, was that 2 years?
That was last year.
Yeah, they just had their two-year party, never mind.
It all just kind of blends together, though, right?
These last 2 years, for sure.
Who else was this year? So,
but I think we were talking about like Bixi.
Yep, Bixi was new this year.
Well, I was calling Bixi all the way up until
so was I.
The day I went. But that was one of the more memorable ones for me. Like, their beer's cool. Uh-huh. We got guests. But their tap room kind of blew me away.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's and really.
You were just there, right?
I was just there 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we got mail coming in.
It's like an episode of Blue's Clues.
So tap rooms, Bixi and Mousetrap.
Mousetrap, and then Erie's. Obviously, you're doing cider and craft beer.
So you guys been to Erie's. I haven't been to Erie's.
I actually haven't. I know one of our writers did. And so I haven't actually been there yet. I do want to go. I heard their outdoor space is great. Obviously, their beer won awards at GABF, so that's impressive there. But, yeah, I have not actually been up there yet.
I went... say a month or so ago. A beautiful space. It's huge. Like you said, all their beer is good, all the cider is good. They do a lot of beer cider blends, which is really fun to see as well. And their food was tasty too.
One of my favorite experiences this year was probably down in Crete, the Evil Horse Brewing, right? This guy Steve Camp, a longtime member of like Chicago Beer Society, started his own thing down there. And I was really impressed by what they had going on. So that when I think tap rooms, new tap rooms that I've been to, that jumps out at me.
And then you mentioned Midnight Pig in Evanston.
Oh yeah, Midnight Pig. Plainfield was the first location. Their second location opened up in a steakhouse. Mm-hmm. It was a former steakhouse. So then the steakhouse's event room was converted into a satellite tap room for Midnight Pig, who's cleaning up. at like all these awards.
Midnight Pegasus?
Yeah. There'd be in a lager is rolling pretty hard at like World Beer Cup and Great American Beer Fest, which is kind of impressive. Because I passed on both when I went to their tap room. I actually leaned on the guest taps, you know, because okay. You know, when you go to these things, sometimes you know I'm not interested in hanging out and learning about beer. Like I just want to go have.
Right.
I'm going to get Sophie, right? Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it was one of those nights for me.
Okay, but, makes sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's all I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
It was definitely a slower year for openings, new tap rooms after 2017. But I think that's okay. We're kind of maybe getting our feet under us and kind of building a more solid base of breweries instead of just having 20 new ones open every year that are okay. We're really getting a solid foundation now of beer in Chicago.
Right. And each one's doing kind of their own thing or it's a little unique or different twist. Like you said, cider, beer ciders, we have haze, we have lagers, we have Rev doing these session sours. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the first tap rooms I went to this year was the Dojo. It was Pipeworks Dojo. And I think it kind of got lost in the shuffle for me. Just Pipeworks as a crew. You know, it's one of those crews I always leaned on. And I forgot how good they were until I had NVU like maybe a week ago.
Yeah, and hopefully they're going to open up their tap room at some point. You know, the Dojo is great, and I love going there. But you're right; it gets lost in the show because totally it's far west, right?
Yeah, and Hermosa, so right. They actually share a wall with the original off-color. Yeah.
Right, and so it's not easy to get to from the central Chicago area, and obviously you can't drink there outside of the samples. So, but obviously the rumor's been swirling for years now that they're going to open up a tap room, and so hopefully that does happen because you're right, Ninja vs. Unicorn. For me, it's one of the best beers in Chicago.
Like year-round double IPA, it might be. Yeah, I can't think of one better off the top of my head. So,
and they were the crew that almost like we now are flooded with can releases every day. And Pipeworks was before like, all right, bottle release every week. We're like, what? Yeah. Man, slow down. And now we're like, all right, can release every day. Here we go. Yeah.
That's a good point. Because with all those fish series, right? You'd have Square Grouper or MO Grouper, like all those big double IPAs that were in bombers, and that's just what you did back then, like right. 3-4 years ago, you got a bomber of a double IPA at 10.5%, and you opened it, and you either drank it all, or you would let it go to waste.
Right.
Such a shift, man. Like 3 years ago, yeah, because everybody was in bombers. One more thing about them, like you can just roll up just about any day and get any of the Barley stuff, and that's cool. They're not like limiting it to this frenzy on one day. You know, they're just kind of casually releasing, Barrel-aged Jones dog. It's here. Come get it.
Right.
I can dig that.
They quietly announce it. They don't make a big thing. There's no line or lottery or anything. That's just, here it is, which I think is great.
Well, even like Half Acre, they have beer releases like that every couple days, too. It's like there's not really a line. There are lines for like Big Hugs or Benthic, but other than that, it's just like, here's Double Daisy, and come get it.
And now with their growth, you can find, not Big Hugs, but you can find those beers out in the market. If you don't get Benthic from the brewery, there are bottle shops that get Benthic. Yeah. You can go pick it up.
Yeah, even Big Hugs was at Binny's, too.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. That's where I got it, too. Yeah. Say, I just picked it up. Yeah. I actually got a vanilla Big Hugs. I got the variant.
So, I didn't. I grabbed a 4-pack of the regular one. I was like, I didn't make it because I was gone. Okay.
There it is, yeah.
Big Hugs in Kansas here. Huh?
Yeah.
Yep. 4-pack. Nice. I mean, and the thing, you think of the dollar value, it's a 4-pack of 16-ounce cans is $22. One bomber was $20.
Right.
It's such a better value for the customer, for the consumer.
Mm-hmm. They're smart, man. Those boys are smart. Yeah. They might actually be the, if we're talking like breweries of the year, right, as a category, what Half Acre's done for this town in 2018 makes me happy just to think about it, everything.
Well, they put on one of maybe the best events and best new event this year. The Far and Away?
Yeah. Actually, you said it best, man. You actually felt like you hadn't been to a party before.
Right.
And I think that's the ultimate compliment for what they were able to do. And I got to a point where I'm like, man, you boys actually know everyone in attendance. You know every brewery here because I have no idea who maybe like half these folks are.
Yeah.
It was cool.
That lineup, was probably the best lineup of breweries ever assembled for a beer fest in Chicago.
Yeah.
And it'd be tough. I mean, obviously, Phobab is great, and Phobab was great again this year. But outside of barrel-aged beers.
Goddamn mayor ruined it.
But
anyway, yeah.
But outside of barrel-aged beers, you had so much variety at Far and Away. And that's what I loved about it. Is like, I could get the stouts, but then there was lagers, there were sours, there were hazy IPAs, obviously. And from breweries that you just will never see in Chicago.
Right. There was the lines for some of those cool kid beers, but if you...
And your Monkish and other half. And,
but if you hadn't been Casey's. Following those super close, you're like, I don't even know why there's a line. I'm going to just get this other beer.
Walk to the booth right next to it and grab another great beer, because there was no bad beer, really, at that. No bad brewery, no bad beer. I mean, Tired Hands, it's great. Like, we see their bottles very rarely when they do the collab with Half Acre.
Yeah.
But they actually have their stuff. Was awesome. And what was really cool is that a lot of the breweries brought the brewer. You actually got to talk to the people who are brewing the beer. It's not just some volunteer rep. It's the breweries themselves that are actually at the event pouring.
Yeah, I love when that happens, especially at any Chicago Beer Fest, when the brewers are actually pouring. You can just, one, at this point, we know them, so you can just chat with them for a minute. But at that, it's like, who? Like, I talked to the Lawrence, Kansas people. I was like, who are you guys? Like, why are you, like, how are you guys doing all right down there? Like, what's the scene like in Lawrence, Kansas?
And they're probably crushing it, right? I mean, is there a big beer scene?
Yeah, he said that we're the brewery that kids take their parents to, and like, they'll drink at the like cheap places, but when their parents come to town, when they're buying, they come there.
You got that option.
So they're like a little classier, a little nicer, and they're doing great, but it's town, so.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the return of Goose Island Stout Fest was this year.
That's right.
I think it was the first big event at the revamped Goose Island, what are they calling it, the Goose Island Brew House now, I think, something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was nice to see. I think, man, I'm drawing a blank on, Saint Laurent was there. I was a huge fan of Saint Laurent this year. So that would be like if I had a category for like best new brewer, that would be whoever else is in the category, they're in the category with Saint Laurent for my money.
Another brewery that is like that for me, I first had them at the Microphone Smells Like a Beer Fest event, which is also a great one. If you want to talk about breweries that show up that you don't normally see, that was another one in March or May. But Little Beaver Brewery.
Little Beaver.
Has just been impressing me with everything, especially their stouts that they are putting out. And I've not, you know, hidden the fact that I think their beer has been great. I mean, I was at Stout Fest where I had them. I was at the Smells Like a Beer Fest where I had them, at Phobab where I had them.
Yeah.
Their stuff is really good.
Yeah.
That was the brewery that people were going nuts over at Stout Fest, was the Little Beaver Crew. I think they're downstate somewhere.
They're downstate. I want to say they're in Champaign. But I think they're south, but I don't know if they're that far south. Yeah. I'll just throw out Champaign and we can put that as a landmark.
Yeah, once you get, like we said, once you get past Kankakee, you know, that's the edge of the earth, really. You know? we were talking about an event we were all at, Ballast Point. Ballast Point opened this year in Chicago.
That's right. They again fall under the radar, I think. Just one, they're not Chicago. So
an old meat packing facility from 1908. Mm-hmm. 100 taps, no guest at Ballast Point.
No guest
for you, Brad.
No guest. Yeah. They need to figure that out. I think the lack of like a non beer option is hurting them a little bit with no cider or no mixed drink, especially in the
West Loop area. You got to have some cocktails,
So I bet they get some cider on at some point here, some sort of mixed cocktail on draft or something.
Yeah, and that's what made the Mousetrap so cool. I remember going back and I just had, you know, they don't do an IPA, so I was like, dude, let me get the IPA inspired cocktail. You know, cocktails are just as strong as their beers at the Mousetrap. Yeah, to your point. And yeah, have you guys been back to Ballast Point?
I did. So I went there with my wife in the late summer, and we actually sat on the rooftop. It was great. The rooftop is really nice. It's open air, obviously. Nice view. It wasn't too crowded, but I agree. Some variety would be, obviously, it's Ballast Point, right? But I think, you know, if you don't want beer, since they have good food and you can sit there for dinner, get some other beverage option.
Yeah, even down, I went to Hailstorm this weekend and had the Vlad and, you know, the Prey Madness and all that jazz. Oh, but even they carry the two full cider now.
Yeah.
Even down at Hailstorm. Yeah. The Ballast Point boys, we did learn about the secret sculpin menu. I didn't know that was a thing.
Mixed ones?
Yeah, well, they're taking, like, the spicy tuna roll and the hot girlfriend. They're just taking they got so many different beers, so many variants of sculpin.
How many sculpins are there? Does anyone truly know how many sculpins there are?
I forget now. I think they capped out because people were kind of like, all right, that's enough.
Yeah. What else we make it to this year? Well, we've had, actually, this is a season high for us. We've had 9 guests this year. Wow. on the show, which yeah. is pretty cool.
Yeah, about almost one a month, so we gotta step it up next year.
And just nail down 12. 12 is a goal for next year. Yeah.
You know, I missed both the Chicago or the Illinois Craft Beer Week events, Bug, and the Luau one or the festival one. Did you guys go to either of those?
Oh yeah, you know.
Did Bug it? It was fine this year. I felt like it wasn't any better or wasn't any worse than other years. It was just
standard.
I feel like it was a little underwhelming. It didn't sell out. I think they moved it back a day. They moved it to Friday because
they did that instead of Thursday, right?
Instead of Thursday, yeah. I think people were hoping to sell more tickets. Yeah.
People were protesting the fact that it was Illinois Craft Beer Week versus Chicago Craft Beer Week, maybe. Right, I don't know, I'm making that up, but. But yeah, because we like the Guild, you know, we like them.
Yeah.
That was actually one of the more devastating weekends of the year, probably the biggest weekend of the year, because I think I woke up that morning and went out to Villa Park for the Barrel Age Henna releases. Mm. And then, like, you know, that night, I'm at Bug, and then the next day is fucking Dark Lord Day. And...
Oh, devastating as you were trash.
Dude, so I'm talking to... who's our guy from... around the bend who we've had on the show.
Dan.
I see Dan at Beer in the Glass. I'm like, hey, man, you want to just go somewhere and talk? You know, it looks a little quieter. He's like, somewhere quieter? This is Beer in the Glass. You know? But I was just, like, so gone by the time I got there. But, yeah, that weekend, yeah, between Henna, Hop Reviews Fest was that weekend, right?
Oh, Freshies.
Ultra Fresh was that weekend. Yeah, that was probably.
You didn't make it to that. I went there.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest weekend of the year for, like, just major stuff all in a 48-hour run. Mm-hmm. Was probably that weekend.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
During that Illinois Craft Beer Week was the first release of cans for Le Juice.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because I had it back in December. We went out to the brewery.
Yeah.
And had it on tap. And I still put my article. It was one of the best ones I had in Chicago that year.
Yeah.
Felt a little vindicated, or not vindicated. Vindicated. When they won the JBEV. I mean, that beer has just done so well.
Yeah,
they should continue to make it exactly how it is. Like, just don't mess with the gold medal beer.
I don't think they are. I've heard from multiple people that, like, I love getting this. This is great. I go there all the time just to get more of this.
Yeah, and I couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think I saw him. I was at, Beer Hoptacular the day it happened, and he's pouring at Beer Hoptacular. I'm like, what are you doing here? You know, and there's like, got to get you on the show. Oh, we had Gary Gulley on the show. That's 10.
Oh, that's 10.
Yeah, 10 guests this year. Yeah, so. That was cool. I was very excited for him. Yeah. A lot happened this year, man. Uppers and Downers this year. Did you make it to Uppers and Downers?
I did not make it there. I was out of town for Uppers and Downers.
Yeah.
I don't
know
where that I was good.
Deuce 6.
I think the previous year I liked a little more, but I still enjoyed this year's. Like, I don't know why. I think maybe it was the special offerings in that session.
Yeah. I had never been, and I thought that Cruz Blanca really showed up.
Yeah.
I think what everybody else was, it was a showcase for Cruz Blanca. They had like seven beers. One of their beers had like, you know, like an espresso floating on top of it. You know, they were just really there to like let everyone know. Like, it was kind of like for me, it was a coming out party for Cruz Blanca, you know, which was kind of cool to see. And then, and then that venue is
fun. Guinness room this year was pretty cool to like try some of those other variants and learn a little more about what they're doing.
Yeah, Guinness, speaking of Guinness, they celebrated their 200th St. Patrick's Day. In America this year.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they opened a brewery, of course, in Maryland. Yeah. Really the world's first global beer, right? And they're still relevant. I mean, they're hanging out at Uppers and Downers with a Belgian triple with Cascara Coffee, right?
Right.
Like, of the really big old brands, you know. Like, we talked about Heineken as a good example, or Stella, right? Like, no one's really hanging in there and doing things quite like Guinness is to be so old.
Right.
You know? Yeah, so good for them.
Yeah. What else? So we got Uppers and Downers. You mentioned FOBAB. FOBAB this year, I think it's showing that they might need to get a new venue.
I honestly thought after last year they were going to switch venues. Yeah. I don't know what the contract looks like for that, but I think it's time that you have the demand for it.
Yeah.
You're selling out these sessions. I don't know where you'd go. It's always a fun conversation. Yeah. Where do you put FOBAB? There has to be a better place. There has to be a bigger place that you can do FOBAB. I didn't get it. I'm not going to give the answers. I'm just going to say the problem and let the guild figure it out because I'm not good at that. But
or is it? Or do they scale it down a little bit or add another session or something like that? Like
I tell you, man, my vote is to go back to Bridgeport and do the Skyline Loft. That's for me. That is quintessential fallback.
Well, that's such a nice place, but
yeah, it's not functional anymore, right?
But I thought the lineup for this year's FOBAB was really great. I thought last year's was a little of a not a letdown, but in other years it hasn't been as great. But this year I thought there was a lot of awesome beers that were being poured. And yes, people flocked to kind of like the big names, you know, the Chemtrail from Three Floyds, the ones from Moore, was it Mendy and whatnot. But I think there's a lot of other, like that's one kind of like Far and Away where just go to your left or right and try something new. Right. And you're going to discover there's a lot of good beer out there.
That's what I do most of the time at FOA and have for years. It's I don't even know who's going to be there. I don't look at what's going to happen. I just walk around and like, all right, I'm going to try this. Or you run into people and be like, what should I try? And you get recommendations. So.
Mm-hmm. Last year was Weldworks. People insisted you try. This year it was Horace Aged Ales. Yeah. And the crew from Oxnard, California, the Casa Agria Specialty Ales. Yeah, we're still unpacking new stuff at FOBAB, which I like. Yeah.
Yes, and it's not this just, year's Goose Island line was not as long as it had been previously. So I think people are realizing that there are other people doing this.
I think there's also so many opportunities, especially if you're in Chicago, so many opportunities to have Bourbon County before Black Friday, after Black Friday. So if you really want to get it, like you can get it if you're in Chicago. I know we're spoiled here. You know, I talk to people who are outside of Chicago. Like I would just like they would kill for one variant. We're definitely spoiled. but you know, don't focus on Goose Island, on Bourbon County at FOBAB because go to any place on Black Friday.
Right.
If you know Fat Poor had a great event, obviously the Clybourne had their or whatever it is, the Brew Pub now had their event. You can go to Sheffield. You can go to Fountainhead. All these places are
pouring.
Don't go
to Timothy O'Toole's.
I heard about that.
No bueno.
So go to make sure that they know what they're doing when they're pouring beer, which these places usually do. But that's where you can get it. So use FOBAB as an opportunity to try beers that you can't get in Chicago.
It's hard to do, man. I go every year saying that, and then you end up saying, oh, man, Old Irving's pouring this Crumpus, and I know it's a party for it in
that
a month.
That was
and
delicious, by the way. See, that was so good.
You end up just going local.
Like, what does Off Color have over here? Oh, all right.
Claire's Thirsty Ale from Haymarket. First time in bottles this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. So that was one of my favorite things I did this year. And then come to find out, they bottled it at Cruz Blanca. You know, their neighbor is just like two blocks away.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's always a great beer. Whenever I go up to Michigan, I always have to stop right there because you can stop there in Transient right next to each other.
Transient.
5 minutes away. So it's a nice little place right there, and they have great pizza.
Yeah, their pizza is good. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Both you guys been to the Haymarket Tap Room, which I want to say was like an old, like,
it was a sheriff's station.
Oh, a sheriff's station.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You almost see, like they have, like, not hitching posts, but they have, like, this outdoor space with, like, we're not going that far back. Look like hitching posts. That's what the first thing when I went out there and I knew it was an old, you know, sheriff, I was like, oh, that's where they had the horse. I'm like, wait, it's like 2017. But, yeah, it's an awesome space.
We forgot to mention that Mike brought this. Don't Fight It, Spite It, 2016 barrel-aged Hostile Harrier. That's their Imperial Stout, barrel-aged Imperial Stout.
Man.
So, you know.
It's for you guys.
I don't know.
Happy holidays.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you, Mike Solar. We drinking now? Are we getting into something else? What are we doing here?
I don't know.
This is not cold. So
we'll keep drinking our freedom.
Let's say under 5%. This is one of the first podcasts I can go on where I'm not going to walk out and I can actually walk a straight line.
Yeah. Sometimes I use it as therapy, and then I'm just like, all right, if I can get out of here and be three sheets, you know, my work is done.
Yeah. we mentioned Le Juice. I think that and the S'more Stout from Energy City could be like my standout beers from this year, like that I like think about when I like am sitting alone. I'm like, what could I drink if I just had to pick something?
I think it's great for Energy City to get a beer out there that was really well received that isn't a hazy IPA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just show that you can do other styles of beer. And I agree, the S'more Stout from them that was great. Lots of flavor, lots of chocolate, not too artificial in the vanilla side of things, which I thought was great. But that was a really surprising beer, actually, because when you have somebody who's just doing hazy IPAs, they try to do a stout, and to have it, that's your first time, I think that's a good win for them.
Yeah, and he made it a point to say that, you know, hey, these are ingredients that you can, you know, get at the store. You know, you can get like Nabisco graham crackers and do this. You can get chocolate, you know, from Hershey's and do this. He was kind of making a point like, hey, we just want to showcase that we're able to do more than, like, than what you said. And I'm cheers to Beermiscuous, because that's actually the first time I ever tried Energy City or even heard of them. I just happened to be hanging out at Beermiscuous, and they're there. They actually kind of turned me on to those guys.
I think they have one of the coolest stories, because just earlier this year, the only time you can get it was the first Saturday of the month by going to the brewery, waiting in line and getting it.
Batavia.
Right, Batavia. Thank you. I was like, it's not close to here, but it's not super far. But that's the only way you could get Energy City, and now they're distributed.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic for them. I mean, that was a fast turnaround, going from one Saturday a month to going to Beermiscuous and grab a can or two.
Yeah, and they might actually be they might be brewing at who's the big contract brewer?
Great Central.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, and I actually thought that was the dumbest idea ever. Not Energy City going there, but just the idea of having a brewery that just focused on contract brewing. And what do I know? You know, Maplewood, you know, their award-winning beer at JBF was brewed there.
Yeah.
You know, and now these guys are getting, like, these huge 300-barrel fermenters and, like, everyone lining up. Even crews like Beguile, who it seems like they have room at their own space, right?
Well, they do, because they're brewing St. Laurent beers at their space.
But then they also brew at, you know, everyone's taking advantage. We were at Twisted Hippo last week, and they're taking advantage of this contract brewing situation. Everyone's kind of gravitating towards them to brew their core offerings so the tap room can do cool stuff. And, man.
As long as the quality stays consistent, keep doing it, right?
Yeah. So, good for them. Beer Bistro, man, their annual Stout Tap Takeover was earlier this year in January. It ended up being their last big party, too.
Yeah.
That was when I discovered that, because I didn't really like CBS and the bottle this year. You know, I thought it was kind of muted, you know. But then we had it on draft, and it popped. You know, all the things you like, all the barrel, all the chocolate, all came out so big. And then I experienced that at Beer Bistro. And then they tapped prop, and then we went back to get another one, and the prop was gone because there was an error with the keg, and like all the prop like
spilled, right?
This was the banana bread. What was that, last year's 17, prop? 2017? Yeah. Yeah, it all spilled out.
That's a bummer.
Man, bummer.
Yeah. I was there for their last day. It was sad. You know, there's so many people were there. That was a great place. And obviously they closed their Fullerton location a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And then it was just a landlord rent hike thing on the Madison one. So I think we'll see him again in Chicago somewhere.
Well, yeah. Bob's been in the beer scene forever, so yeah. I'm sure he's got something else he wants to do, and yeah, I'm sure it was probably a rent thing. It probably got too expensive over there, and
I wouldn't mind hearing from a Bob McDermott, just hearing some of the stories that he's had, because yeah, that was originally like my first FOBAB. It was pregame at Beer Bistro, and you always pregame at Hawks games, and you know, obviously Bulls games,
and they were the only people who would have a shuttle too. Yeah, to shuttle. Get, because there was nothing else to go to, so they had a shuttle. But then some of those other people on Randolph started to have shuttles and things like that.
At the time, this was like pre-Haymarket, right? This was pre-really everything in the West Loop.
Yeah.
You know, Beer Bistro, before it blew up, Beer Bistro was there hanging tough, man. 2018, man. What else?
Obviously you have Prop Day.
Yeah.
Goose Island, you know, that's people's first chance to really drink a lot of the Bourbon County variants. So that's obviously, again, one of the hardest lotteries to get into. So that was a fun event. That's very dependent on the weather. If you get a 10 degree day, you're in trouble. It was beautiful out there for this year. So that was fun.
That's cool. Because 2 years ago, I think they had bonfires going and garbage cans. And, you know, you smelled like smoked meat. But it didn't matter because, you know, you needed it, like you said. Yeah. So. That's cool. I'm glad they had
it. We missed that. We didn't get tickets.
Yeah, I didn't go this year either, man. Yeah, that was a bummer. But yeah, you get to try, and then you get to try everything. Like you think you just said that.
All of them are on tap.
Yeah. Speaking of tap rooms, man. A place I hung out a lot was Corridor this year. You know, we're talking about favorite tap rooms, not necessarily new ones, just cool tap room experiences. I really dig that place. And then you know the fresh hazy train, you know, not. I get emotional because like I'll leave work early to go get a four pack of Squeeze It. You know?
Okay.
I just get really excited about their
triple hop Squeeze It.
Yeah.
Gets released on New Year's
Eve. Yeah, New Year's Eve was triple hop Squeeze It, and Squeeze It came out on Friday, last Friday.
Yeah, right off the Brown Line, 100 packs were gone.
Yep.
You know, I just like that space.
No. Food's good.
Oh, the food's right there.
The burger is awesome. I either get the burger or the chopped salad. Those are my go-tos.
Best appetizer is the cauliflower and cheese curds in buffalo sauce.
Ooh, that sounds good. I haven't tried that.
Yeah. A tap room that I discovered in 2018 that really surprised me was Open Outcry. Have you guys had a chance to go out there yet?
I've been in
the Beverly area.
I have, and I've been waiting for Will Turner to kind of get his beers flowing through there before I go.
Yeah, our buddy Chris Jacobson, Chicago Hardcore Craft Beer, his event Dark Side at Emporium's coming up in February. That's another good party too. Mm-hmm. Oh, but he was out there. He said he's got an ESB on now. Oh. Will Turner does. So ESB. I'm excited to get back out there.
So you like the space, or what do you like?
Yeah, I think the space is great. I think the beer is solid, and you have someone who can do hazy IPA as well, but then the stouts are great. The cream ale, I think, is actually one of their best beers that people don't talk about enough. That was really just a nice, light, refreshing beer you can have. They have a pizza oven in there that makes great food. He just built a rooftop with the igloos, with the domes, which are very cool. I have not been out there yet, but I've been talking with John. I want to get out there and have a beer up there with him. But that's a guy who knows how to market his brewery, but can back it up with a really solid product. And it's a trek to get out there, and he knows it. You know, it's from this area. It's probably about 45 minutes, but it's worth the drive or the Uber train, I guess, bus to get out there and experience it, because there's also a lot of other breweries in that area you can do.
Yeah, man, there's a rising tide out there on the south side, man. You got the Open Outcry. Mm-hmm. Horse Thief Hollow is like a few blocks away.
You can walk there.
Yeah, they've always had solid offerings. And then, you know, Argus is out there. We talk about Argus a little bit on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, their Doppelbach from their Golden Prairie series. You know, they seem to just be slowly making beers that people can appreciate. I told you, like, we went to last week, I went to Big Star, and, you know, they got the Red Ale from Argus on tap.
So weird.
And I'm like, right on.
No
man.
One has Argus on tap.
Exactly. Like, this is literally the only place all year I've seen Argus on tap. Yeah.
But now that Will Turner's over at Open Outcry, I think that also brings in some maybe like the older craft beer people who are like, I don't know about this Open Outcry. So
that was a major move for them to take Will Turner to go from Rev to Open Outcry. It's a huge get for them.
Yeah. I think, I think you guys said it all. That's so cool to see.
Yeah, I'll be checking it out probably, hopefully here soon. Did Mars open this year? Did we forget about Mars?
I think they were brewing, but maybe
was it the tap room?
I think the tap room might have opened this year. When did we first go to Mars?
I feel like we were at Uppers and Downers, and the Hop Review guys said they were heading over there, and that was earlier this year.
Mars tap room. Let's see. Because I went up there like 3 times when they first opened, and I haven't been back in a while.
Okay.
Let's see. When did they open? Because now I'm just really curious. February. Yep. February. March.
Good call.
Of this year. That's a good one, guys. They all start to just blend together. Was it 2017? Was it 2018? Right. But Mars is great just because you see the wide variety that they have.
Right.
It's so much more than Jungle Boogie and their hazy IPAs, their stouts, their white stout, their Chug Life. I mean, just, and it's all on draft there, and you can get it so easily.
I think I'm going to go there Friday. I've made the promise to make it there before the end of the year. Nice. So, Friday. I'm going Friday.
It's still 2018.
Yeah. That Chug Life is fantastic. Yes. Another candidate for, you went to, you really like, who's the crew out in, that does a Fresh Haze, does a gummy series out in the West
River Whistle? Yeah. I just went out there.
Yeah.
You talked to Mike or...
I just went for the release. I didn't talk to anyone. Yeah. I sat by myself and drank my haze and left.
We were out there for a story with we talked with Mike and Paul, the owners and brewer, and
oh, because they did the peanut beer this year.
They did the peanut. So this is actually way before the peanut. Like the Mr. IPA night came out of left field for us. Like we saw that. I was like, oh, this is interesting. But we were out there. I want to say back in like June or July. Just sat down with them for our Inside the Tank series and just got to learn a little bit more about kind of how they came into craft beer. But what I thought was really interesting for them is, while they know that the gummy series is like a big name for them, what I really respected was that they're like, we're not going to make all gummy. We want to make other styles of beer and make sure people know who we are. You know, yes, gummy is great, and they could brew 100% gummy, right? And they could probably sell it all. But they make so many other styles of beer that people just don't know about. They want to stick to the roots and actually do other beers, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. I really dug. I spent a lot of time digging on the Hubbard's Cave Unani this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Especially over the summer with the double IPA series. Yeah. And then what really got me into it was the large format stouts, the large format pastry stouts.
And then he's got a new space that should be coming in 2019.
2018, yeah.
Yeah. So a little closer to the city.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like I'm up in Rogers Park and it's still a half hour and 11 miles from me, just straight west.
There's no easy way to get to Niles. Yeah.
Yeah, I really dug on them a lot this year.
So you got them opening a space this coming year. You got the Psalmoth rumors, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to finally do something in the city.
Mm-hmm. And then you have Burnt City, whatever they're going to be called, their new space.
Right, and if you talk to those guys, it sounds like there's space for four brewers there. So correct. I think three are confirmed, but I think they're looking for the fourth.
That's what Dan told me at FOBEB. Now, that was about a month and a half ago now. But, yeah, he said three are confirmed. And there was a rumor of a fourth one, but nothing's been confirmed yet.
Yeah.
What are the ones? So
who are the candidates? Oh, who's confirmed?
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, Around the Bend, Burn City.
Whatever it's going to be called.
Fuck, who was the third one, man?
I know.
Dude.
I can look it up and figure it out.
But yeah, I'm drawing a
blank. There's a third one that...
That's someone said
it's already in that area, too, I think. They're going to just... brew with them there.
Is it
Did someone say something about Buddy Jerome?
Oh yeah, that's right. I think Bulldog? it might be Bulldog. I think you're right. Yeah. I think it's Bulldog.
Yeah. They haven't said anything, so
these are all just you know, we're three rounds in. This is all just hearsay.
That's usually what Chicago Beer
Fest
is.
That's really is built on that, right?
Yeah. I overheard this, but might have just been me by myself.
Yeah. What are some of the local beers that jump out at you right away when you talk about like Madness's? This is a candidate for beer of the year, this fucking beer right here.
Well, yeah, I mentioned the Juice.
Oh, yeah, the Juice. Yeah. One of mine was like, I think VSOJ kind of lived up to the hype for me. I'm looking at the fist all over the table. I was like, the first time I had that beer on draft, I'm like, this is what they said it is. Yeah. This has all the moves. This is great.
I just did my top three beers of 2018 from Chicago. And for me, no particular order, just do 1, 2, 3. But Dovetail's Creek.
Yes.
I thought was so good. Well worth the wait. Death by Current from Rev. I liked that beer last year when it was on tap for the, you know, Battle Royale. It's really great to see it come into more mass production and not lose its characteristics that were so great from 2017. So I thought that was a really good one. And then one I had just like, I want to say last month, maybe it was late October, but Peanut Butter Cuppa from Maplewood blew me away. I don't think I've ever been at a brewery and ordered three pours of the same beer.
Oh, wow.
But I did three of it. Yeah. I thought it was that good. So those three were just, there's a lot of great beer, right? Three, like I was thinking, like what stood out to me this year? It was those three.
Yeah.
One beer we mention all the time is Metro's Coffee Jitterator.
Oh, dude.
That was one of maybe the best coffee variant. Like it's a lager and it's just like, that one's great. Like they have a coffee variant all the time, but that one stood out above them all.
On Nitro, when you go there. Yeah, I was very excited about that. Yeah, I really liked Contra Paso from Saint Laurent. There was another one, Collier, which was kind of like, it came out around Easter, and it was a dead ringer for like the Reese's cup that shaped like an Easter egg. It was a dead ringer for that. I was really excited about that, yeah.
Did you guys get any of the, have you had the Crystal Lake Boathouse Reserve Series beers?
We have them, but we haven't drank them yet. I just drank the haze though.
The haze, it's like it's not hazy, it's kind of like a cross, like a Midwest IPA they're calling it, where it's like fruity, juicy, but not as hazy.
It was nice. I snuck it into the movie theater last night, so I was drinking it there.
There you go.
That's a barrel program that's doing really well, that's flying really under the radar. I had their rye barrel variant this year that was, I mean, just nice little heat from the rye barrel, not too overpowering, lots of chocolate, a coffee. But one of the better barrel-aged beers I think I had actually in all of Chicago this year.
Yeah. You know what flew under the radar? It's Midwest. It's not Chicago. But
Get out of here.
No. party ale from the good folks up at Bell's. It was a double IPA called Lampshade. Yeah. Okay. And it's just, there's like a couple of images of like old, you know, Polaroid-style pictures on it. Oh, and then the cap has a Polaroid on it. And it was just lights out. I went and got that beer like three nights in a row. It's kind of in six packs. It was so good, man.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, we never talk about Bell's. So.
Well, sometimes we do. We just recently had the show. Best Brown, yeah. And we're talking about Christmas ale, their Scottish Christmas ale, right?
Yeah. So nice. Man.
So then 2019, what do you guys as we look past on this year, what are you guys excited for this coming year? Or anything you've heard about or want to see more from somebody? I hope we see another Far and Away.
Yep.
I bet we probably will.
I think the fact that it didn't sell out because people were concerned about the price, but all the feedback everyone went there is like, it was worth every penny. I think people will, it will sell out this year. They'd be crazy not to do another one.
Yeah.
I hope they do.
I don't think Half Acre is that worried about the price of things.
Yeah. Well, not the people buying the tickets.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Them just spending money, like, I think they're at.
They have it. If you can pull that kind of crowd, I mean, it was not too crowded. It was a good sized crowd, good venue. So yeah, let's do that again. That'd be fun.
Yeah. I'm just looking forward to like somebody doing something in a space where we haven't seen a party. You know,
okay.
You know, like, I don't know a good example of that. All I know is that whenever I'm on a boat over the summer, you know, one of those like Kurt Foreman's tours, and we're going out on Lake Michigan. There's this lighthouse, and it's clearly like room up top of the lighthouse for a party for like 100 people.
Oh, that
on the lake. Yeah, I want something. I want something in a space we haven't been to yet. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the festival circuit always surprises us with a new venue. I'm just looking forward to exploring new spaces in the city through big festivals. Like, we go to some cool parties during the week, but I want to have a big festival in a new space that we haven't partied in. So I want to see that.
So you're looking for more parties this year?
Yeah.
This coming year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. You know, for me in 2019, I think it's going to be another slow year of growth. We're not going to see a lot of new breweries open. I think we probably would have heard of them by now, or at least, you know, buzz in the industry about them. We're going to continue to see lots of hazy IPAs because those are getting people into craft beer, and that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like what you're going to see, I think you're going to see a trend back towards classic styles as well. Yes, the hazy IPAs are going to be there, but a lot of breweries are trying to get back into like lagers and trying to do fun things with Pilsner. You know, look at what Pipeworks did with their Pilsner this year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a brand new beer, I think, for them, but the can design was great. People liked it. They're like, this is a good, clean,
that's true,
Pilsner beer. And I think there's a way. I think hazy IPAs get people into craft beer. Then we need to kind of help them expand and try things outside of the hazy IPAs.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird how excited I was at the Christmas party. There was Nosferatu, a red ale from Great Lakes, and then there was Afterburner and in the fridge.
Okay.
And I was pleasantly excited, to your point, about just like these traditional styles that are really the same every year.
Yeah.
They brought me a lot of joy, and I wouldn't mind when they're well executed. Even like the one from the one from Mars you guys were talking about, the Low Life, I think it's called, whatever it's called.
Chug Life.
Yeah. Just beers like that. Just clean, simple, locally produced classic styles.
I am worried for some of the bars here in Chicago because I hardly ever go to a bar now. If I want a beer out, I'm going to go to one of these tap rooms to see what they have to offer. And I think a lot more people are doing that. And when I do go to the bars, I'm like, I don't really want any of those.
So would you go to like a craft beer bar? Like think of like a Beer Miscuous, a Bitter Pops, a Centennial, where they have a lot of different craft beer?
Possibly. I was recently, the most recent one I was over at Whirly Ball because we had a little event there. But their lineup is usually pretty good. And I was just kind of like, nothing was like jumping out at me. So I think, and they had like a lot of non-local stuff too, which I think just kind of happens now too, which is good and bad.
Right.
But I think it's a different group of people that are going to the bars versus the tap rooms and the breweries. So. Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I agree with you, you know, to the point where it's like, yeah, you want to go to the tap room, have where it's made, try it as fresh as possible. I think the good thing in Chicago is we have a lot of options where you can drink a lot of our breweries that are fresh and still good there. You know, if you think about, obviously, the ones I just said, but then, like Lynx and Fat Pour, you know, they have good beer lists that are always evolving. Park and Field Chicago's, I do a lot of work with them. They have a great list that's always being, you know, constantly changed with local feels. But you're right. I think, especially with the new legislation that passed, that worried a lot of bar owners.
Yeah, where you can have non-beers you brew on premise. So
right.
Basically, you're mainly seeing it with, like, the ciders. We were talking about Ballast Point earlier. But every now and then you're like, oh, we're friends with these people. We also carry their beers. Right.
Yeah. I mean, Forbidden Root had a microphone beer on tap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
No. That was one that didn't go under the radar for us. Like, Forbidden Root's been around for a while. I was very excited to still enjoy their beers when we had them on the show or when we recorded from there.
Yeah. So, yeah, 2018, pretty good beer year.
I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really, if you want to sum up the year, it was the year of the hazy IPA for Chicago, right? I mean, if you look at GAPF and, you know, Corridor, Alarmist, and Aries all take medals, that surprised a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So it was a good year for us. It really kind of put Chicago, it's already obviously well known in the craft beer industry. I think it gave us a little more kind of respect in people outside of the city.
Mm-hmm. Do you think some of these bigger breweries, like we've mentioned, Goose Island, or some of these bigger ones, like trying to get on this hazy train, are they going to be able to do it as well?
they can if they want to. Okay. It's not. I'm not a brewer.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say it's easy to do, but you can do it. You can replicate it. A lot of brewers have told me, yeah, we can do it. Either we don't want to, or yeah, we're doing it. It's not like a secret recipe out there for hazy IPAs.
Right. But we do see the shelf life is often limited. Some of the breweries like Alarmist, they have done it well where it's not limited to 2 weeks.
Yes.
They know that it's got to go at least a month or more.
At least a month. I mean, it should really be going 60 days.
Yeah.
But if you can get it a month, I mean.
But Goose Island's going to want, or AB is going to want that beer to be, what, 3 months?
Yeah.
At least, so.
Simply really can't be done when you do that kind of, that hop. If you had that many hops to a beer with that kind of dry, you know, double dry hopping, and you have to keep it cold, and that's where, you know, we heard people's beers exploding.
Yeah.
That's a whole other issue. You guys could do a whole other show on exploding beers.
Yeah, I think more.
That was a legit Twitter conversation people had to have over a course of several days.
And people would justify, like, well, you obviously didn't take it and drink it right away. You obviously kept it somewhere warm. And you know you shouldn't have done that. Like, kind of saying, yo, look, like, beers explode. It's a thing. Like, it was funny. Like, people on the side of kind of like saying, listen, mm-hmm. it's your fault, purchaser. It's you. It's funny.
I just hope my beer doesn't explode.
That's the last thing I want, man.
Right. Well, yeah.
I'm just like thinking, like, now all the beer I have in my
cellar. That's the mess you don't want to clean up. It's right. One of these exploded. All right. And that does it?
Yeah. Mike Zola, what's next for you, man? What do you got coming up the next couple weeks, month or so?
Next couple weeks. So obviously with the new year, the big events are kind of done, which is great. We have another Revolution release, though, with... Boss Ryeway, did I say that right? Ryeway Boss Ryeway.
Yeah.
And then the Straight Jacket. So looking forward to that. January 20th, we are putting together, it's very informal, we're going to be doing an Evanston bar crawl.
Nice.
Brewery crawl. So there's obviously a lot of great breweries in Evanston. And I was just thinking to myself, like, you know what? We want to get people out there. You know, go try Smiley Brothers. Go try Temperance. Go try Sketchbook.
Shout out to Peckish Pig. Very underrated brewery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot out there. So we're just kind of figuring out the details of how we're going to do it. It's going to be very informal. We're just going to kind of, you know, post about it. Like, hey, join us. You know, we're going to be in an hour each one. Take the Purple Line. Take the Metra. Get up there and just experience these beers. And then the Sunday before the Super Bowl is going to be the second annual Try a New Brewery Day. Oh. Where there's no football. Go try a new brewery you haven't been to. I pushed it last year. Got a little traction. I'm going to try it a little bit. I'm going to start right here.
There you go.
Try New Brewery Days the Sunday before the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Just go out. Find a brewery you haven't been to. There's nothing else going on. There's no football for the first time in months. Go experience something. There's plenty of options in Chicago.
Yeah. That'd be cool to get a nice little hashtag around that. And then I actually get excited when I see other people post. And it's like, oh, man, look, he brought up something that was not on my radar at all. Mm-hmm. Now I want to go to there.
Yeah. New Brewery Sunday. That's what we used last year. Caught on a little bit. Hope we get some more traction.
I like it.
Very cool.
Right. We'll get on that. Awesome. And then people can follow you on Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah, obviously social media. You got to be on there if you're doing beer stuff or really anything nowadays. Instagram is Chicago Beer. Still don't know how I got that handle, but like that I have it, Chicago Beer.
Man, that's good.
Twitter is Porch Drink Shy, CHI. So that's the Porch Drinking one where we post all of our stories and beer news and whatnot, and obviously retweet other beer blogs that have great news as well.
Awesome. And then Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch. We're not here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Chicago Beer Pass, and the website Chicago Beer Pass. Everything gets posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version as well. And our next episode will be with Metro talking about their 10-year anniversary party.
10 years of lager life.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys.